This morning we invite you back to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of these verses this morning. This morning we want to continue on with that of our study of 2 Peter chapter 1. And in our study we have been considering the graces which Peter lists here in verses 5 through 7. There are 8 of them, with that of faith being the root to the other 7. Peter calls upon us to be diligent to add to that of our faith, virtue to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and the last two, which we have not covered yet, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, I'd like for very briefly review these graces with you. Virtue speaks of excellence in character. To the Greek philosophers, it meant the fulfillment of a thing. The example that we gave as we considered that grace was that of land that produces crops. It is excellent because it fulfills its purpose, that of bringing forth that of plants the results of those plants. For a Christian, it is vigorous commitment unto God and seeking to be that which God would have them to be. Paul wrote, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That should be the goal of every one of us as a child of God, that we would be pressing forward towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Then we had the grace knowledge, God's revealed will for that of our lives. As we pursue excellence, we must also pursue knowledge of God and His will in order for us to be that which God would have us to be. The third virtue was that of temperance, resistance of restraint of one's emotions, impulses, or desires. Fourthly, patience or perseverance, the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty, patience, endurance, fortitude, steadfastness. And then the last grace that we covered before we took a break was that of godliness, which speaks of heart devotion and service to God. Now today, as we come to that of our passage here, and the two graces which are the last two of the list, there are several things that we'd like to draw your attention to before we actually get to that of the two graces. We'll be only considering one of the graces of this morning, which is the next one, which is brotherly kindness. But in light of the list begins with faith. Add to your faith, Peter wrote. One must have this grace before there can be any adding of the other graces. And so from this we see the importance of having that root grace, that grace of faith, that faith which Peter spoke of as like precious faith, which is a gift of God. That faith being in Jesus Christ. Secondly, the graces complement each other. As we've considered the various graces, we've seen that they complement each other, and there is seemingly a connection with one another. And in making this statement, we're not saying that each grace is a like a staircase where there is a step up and another step up and another step up. We're not saying that this is the complement and connection that we find. But rather, as we consider these graces, Peter here, Thomas Schreiner in his commentary on this wrote, "Faith is the root of all the virtues, and love is the goal and climax of the Christian life." You note that this list begins with faith and it ends with charity. The first six graces are Godward, and these last two that we will be considering this morning and next Sunday morning, that they are manward. Out of brotherly love, charity. So this morning, we want to consider brotherly kindness. Peter writes here in verse number 8, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity." Brotherly kindness. We begin by asking the question, what is brotherly kindness? The Greek word in the text, the noun, is one that we will recognize. It's Philadelphia. Philadelphia. It is a compound of Adelphos, which means brother, and Philos, which means love. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We're familiar with that of this word. Brotherly love, the affection naturally befitting the relationship between siblings. And this being the common definition of the word, and it would be that of the affection that one would have for that of a physical brother or sister. That's the first definition that we would draw your attention to. But then there is a broader definition, or maybe we could say even it's a narrow definition, which we find in that of the New Testament, and that is that this affection that brotherly love speaks of, that it's a term that speaks of the affection of those who are now siblings in God's family. In God's family. In the New Testament, I believe that we can say that as we look through the New Testament at God's people, at the church, that there is the idea of that of a family relationship amongst those who are the children of God, born of God, a statement that we find throughout the New Testament speaking with regards to those who are the children of God, born of God, children of God, family of God, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. So it's that affection that is being spoken of here. Now, the actual Greek word here is translated brotherly kindness here in our passage. And as we look throughout the New Testament, there are several other places where this actual Greek word is found and it's translated slightly different. It's translated brotherly love, love of the brethren, mutual affection, brotherly affection, mutual love. We want to consider next the usage of that of the term in Scripture. And we would say that as we think of the usage, there is the actual verses where we have the actual word itself that we want to consider. And then secondly, we will consider that of the actual concept, which is found throughout the New Testament. It's just that the actual word itself, Philadelphia, perhaps is not found in the actual verse or in the context. But the concept is there. Now, there are four places where the actual word is used besides the one that is in that of our text. And the first place is Romans 12, verse 10, if you would like to turn there. The Apostle Paul, he writes, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Romans 12, verse 10. Now, Paul here, he is writing to the saints at Rome. He's writing to the saints at Rome. And he calls upon them to be kindly affectionate one to another. Now that word, kindly affectionate, comes from a Greek word which means very loving, warmly devoted to, very affectionate. This warm affection, love, being in that of brotherly love to one another. You know, he goes on to say in that same verse, in honor, preferring one another. And we see what Paul writes in the very beginning, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. And then he goes on to say, in honor, preferring one another. And the implication here would be that showing that kind affection, that brotherly love, that it would include that of honoring, in honor, preferring one another. In other words, Paul concedes that the church as a family, that's even closer than one's biological family, for all are united to Christ as brothers and sisters. And the idea here is that we as brethren, that we would put the interest of our brother and our sister ahead of ours. In honor, preferring one another. Brotherly love, brotherly kindness, speaks of that warmth, that devotion that one would have for one who is another child of God. And Paul here tells the saints at Rome that this is how that you ought to feel towards one another. How that you ought to act towards one another. The next place that the actual word Philadelphia is found is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and in verse number 9. And we'll turn there. 1 Thessalonians. Paul again is the author, and he's writing to the church at Thessalonica. He says in verse 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." But as touching brotherly love, or concerning brotherly love, would be another way that we could read this. You need not that I write unto you. Now let's just stop there and think about what Paul writes there. Why does he say that he does not need to write to them concerning that of brotherly love? That sounds a little bit strange, but if you look down in verse 10, he says, "And indeed you do it," speaking of that of brotherly love, "towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more." I think the answer to the question is found in verse number 10. Peter, or Paul here, as he writes to the saints at Thessalonica, he's not saying that he should, or that he doesn't have to write, or that he has, or that there's no reason for him to write. The fact of the matter is they're already manifesting that of this love. And so he says, it's not necessary for me to. You're already manifesting that of this brotherly love that you should have one for another. He's not telling them that he shouldn't write to them. He says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Now, the implication here in this last statement here is that those who are the children of God, that they are taught. They're taught to love one another. And the implication is that they're taught by God. They're taught by God. It is something that is natural for those who are the children of God to have that of this love for one another, because they've been regenerated by God. They have been given that of this new nature. John tells us in his first epistle, "If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother." So here John, as he speaks of that of love for the brethren, he indicates that one cannot say that he loves God and hates that of his brother. And in particular, John would be dealing with that, those who are the children of God there. The next place that we have Philadelphia found, the word, the actual word, is in Hebrews chapter 12, 13, and in verse number 1, which this is a very short verse. But the writer of Hebrews, he said, "Let brotherly love continue." Let brotherly love continue. Or literally, let brotherly love remain. Or stay. So the idea here would be that love would be one which would continue. One that would persevere. That is being spoken of here. And then lastly, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, we have the last place where the actual Greek word is found, rather than other than that of 2 Peter chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 22, he says, "Seeing ye have purified yourselves and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Peter here calls upon the brethren to love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And the basis of that call is what has taken place in that of their lives as believers. That work, of grace that has taken place within them. So those are the four places besides that of our text where the actual Greek word is found, the noun. Next we come to that of the concept of brotherly love found in other places. And we indicated that this concept that is found in other places, that the actual word Philadelphia is not found there, but the ideal of brotherly love is indeed set before us. And the first place is from John chapter 13, where Brother Don read this morning. John 13, verse 35, we have the words of our Lord and Savior. He says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another," or "one to another." And so there again, the idea of that of brotherly love. What was the context here? It was the Lord and that of his disciples. They had gathered in the upper room and he was preparing them for his departure. And as he prepared them for that of his departure, he wanted to press upon them that of the fact that they were to love one another. And that by this, that they would be known as that of his followers. The next place is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12, where Paul writes, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one towards another and towards all men, even as we do towards you." Again, we have that ideal of brotherly love, love one towards another. And there definitely Paul was speaking of those saints at Thessalonica, the love that they would have for one another, brotherly love. Yeah, same ideal, the concept here. And then Hebrews 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now, this is a little bit different from that of the first two that we noted here, in that the writer of Hebrews, he speaks of the labor of love of these ones to whom he is writing to. They were Jewish believers in Jesus Christ. And as he speaks of that labor of love, he says, "which ye have showed towards his name." God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints. In other words, you've served the saints and do minister unto them. And so here we have that of brotherly love as far as the concept, and that brotherly love being set before us in that of action. Labor of love. Then lastly, well, that's the last verse that I have for that idea of concept, but we'll skip ahead for just a moment. The idea of, as I had put it in my notes, the idea of hospitality. Hospitality towards that of one another. The scriptures speaks of this throughout that of the New Testament. Hospitality is that of brotherly love, that of that love of brethren being shown in that of action. Now lastly, as we consider our subject, I want us to consider that of the idea of cultivating this quality or grace. If we're going to cultivate this grace, what is necessary? As we look back upon that of the other graces, they were graces that were Godward. Actions all pertaining towards God. Here it is out of manward. First thing that we would suggest to you is that it's going to require work on our part. Work on our part. Paul, in writing to the saints at Ephesus, chapter 4, he writes, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Paul, as he writes to the saints at Ephesus there, he calls upon them as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls upon them that they walk worthy of their vocation or their calling. And in so doing, he speaks of that of them endeavoring, which would imply that of work, endeavoring, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we to do this? Well, Paul tells us. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Doing all of these things, speaking of that of effort, that of work, and doing it in love, Paul says. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, Paul, here as he writes to the saints at Ephesus, he's writing to those who are the children of God, those who are to love one another. And he says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation you're calling. Walk in a manner in which would be pleasing in the sight of God." And that's going to mean some work on your part. Some endeavoring on your part. That of walking with lowliness and meekness. Having a just view of oneself. Walking in humility. And as we saw in that first verse that we studied there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Showing honor. Preferring one another. Seeking the good of our brother and sister. Putting ourselves not first, but our brother and sister. It's going to require work on our part. It's going to require a measure of patience on our part. Patience. Paul wrote, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another." Forbearing. Bearing up with one another. Suffering long with one another. And the idea here would be that of persevering in that of our love, even when it's times of difficulty. Can require that of extending forgiveness to one another. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, in the very last verse of that fourth chapter, he writes, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." And then it's going to require us to accept others who may be different from us. Different from us. James, when he writes to the tribes which were scattered, he says, He writes, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." In that passage there in James chapter 2, James gives the example of one coming in that perhaps was not wealthy. And then another one coming in that was wealthy, and that of the one who was wealthy being shown to the front of the congregation rather than that of the one who didn't have very much being pushed off into the corner, the idea. Showing that of favoritism. Well, James says that ought not to be. It's going to require us to learn hospitality, as we've already noted. Paul wrote, "Distributing to the necessity of the saints, giving to hospitality." Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Reflecting on that of this teaching, acting upon this teaching, evaluating that of our endeavors, and then last of all, repeating that of the activities. That's what's going to be necessary if we would cultivate this grace. And I'm sure that there are other things that could be said with regards to this. In closing, our prayer is that we would seek to endeavor to cultivate this grace, even as we have here in our midst. Because there is the fact that if we don't, that it could go the other way. Lord Jesus Christ is our only hope, and He is that of our example. He showed His love, His humility, as we read there in John chapter 13, as He washed the disciples' feet. He showed those disciples His love for them. And we ought to do the same. All right. Let us stand, and on the back of the bulletin, there's an old hymn. I know we just recently sang this, but I thought it was appropriate.
God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel God uphold you, with His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
All right, this will close the services for today. I'm going to ask Brother Don if he'll be just closing real quick.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray and we desire, Lord, to have these graces added to our faith. Lord, we pray that we might be virtuous. Lord, help us to grow in knowledge, in temperance. Lord, help us to be patient under the trials of this life. And then, Father, we pray that you'd give us grace to show brotherly love, Lord, to be concerned for the things of others, not to be self-absorbed or selfish. Lord, may we truly love one another, and Lord, may the world see that in us as something which is heavenly and unearthly. Father, we do pray that the image of Christ would be stamped clearly upon each of our lives. Father, we pray that you'd forgive us where we fail thee for our failing in this flesh, for our failing to exercise each of these virtues and graces. Lord, we do pray that you would bless our families, bless your gospel to each of their hearts. May you deliver them from the power of sin and from Satan, from the power of this world. Lord, do guide and direct our path. Lord, bless us throughout this coming new year. May we be guided by thy Holy Spirit and by the revelation we have in thy Holy Scripture. Father, we thank you for every good thing you've given us, for your love and for the gift of your dear Son. Lord, now we pray we would know your fellowship. Lord, lead and guide us throughout this coming week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?